the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
We want to talk about a brilliant initiative that the GAA's 72-man national panel of Gaelic football and hurling referees are undertaking this weekend. They're going to run a cumulative total of 810 kilometres on Saturday to raise money for the suicide prevention and bereavement charity Pieta House. And I'm delighted to say Martin McNally is with us to talk to us about this. Martin, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Morning, guys.
How much of the 810 kilometres are you actually running?
We're doing 11.2, and that's just not really, that's just not a figure that's plucked out of the sky. In the All-Ireland football final programmes last year, there was a piece in the back of it that was quite informative, produced by Aidan Brady, who is a DCU student who looks after all our strength and conditioning, our training, etc. And the 11.2 is the average of what every referee runs in a 70-minute game. So 72 of us are running 11.2, which is an accumulative number of 810. So that's the target this weekend on Saturday morning for everybody.
And do you take the full 70 minutes to run the 11 kilometres, or are you getting a bit faster now in lockdown?
No, well, look, it's, I suppose the 11.2 is a bit different for us because, you know, during the course of a game, you know, you're doing a lot of high-speed short busts, you know, and, you know, the long, moderate runs isn't really something we do. And funny, I was talking to Dermot Malone from Monaghan. He was just sent me a text of support on it for the weekend, and he was saying, you know, like the 5K would be the, you know, the limit that he would go in long distance running. And I suppose as athletes in the GAA, footballers and referees, were kind of designed and programmed to do the short, hard, fast running. And yes, it does clock over, up over the course of a game to, you know, the 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever the case may be. But yeah, it's a bit different for us, you know. So we've had to, you know, Aidan Brady has given us some advice on how to make it easier for us over the next over Saturday. But over the last couple of weeks, we've kind of been changing our training towards it, you know.
Right. Can I ask Martin, yeah, over the course of 80 minutes of an intercounty game, unbelievable high intensity in a big pitch like Croke Park, for example, like how shattered would you be come the end? Is it akin to a player where you're like, you could actually be struggling in certain high octane games?
Yeah, well, there's a mix of two things in a game, I suppose. You know, number one, you have the physical demand of the game. You know, it could be a very open game up and down the field, and the two teams leave your job very, very easy. In the sense that they both want to play football. And you know, that's a different type of shattered. You know, you're physically exhausted. And then there's the other games that, you know, are maybe not as high tempo, but are very intense and, you know, challenge a lot of the mind. You have to have your wits about you, and you're quite busy in other ways, and you know, you really come off the field, I suppose, physically but very mentally shattered in them type of games. So, you know, it's a bit of both, you know. It depends what type of game you get, you know. But definitely after a game, you know, you definitely were very much like the inter-county players. Like there's some inter-county players, you know, in certain positions of the field that may only cover 3, 4, 5 kilometres in a game, whilst we're averaging, you know, the 11.3, which is quite a high number. So it does demand, you know, us to be quite disciplined in what we do pre and post match. And after the game, you definitely would be not doing anything. Like the next 3, 4, 5 days after that is definitely recovery sessions. But, you know, like I said, you have the two, I suppose, type of games where, you know, one can actually leave you totally mentally shattered, you know.
So it obviously makes a difference what sort of game it is in terms of how you feel physically. Like, I think David Goff was saying previously that he would really have no idea how a game is going, or who's, I can't remember if he said he was winning, but certainly how the game is going, like what sort of game it is, if it's a good game or not. Can you almost tell how high quality a game is given how shattered you are at some points in the middle of a game?
You can definitely know the type of game that you're in, you know, with regard to the quality and the intensity and all them kind of things. But if we were to be asked after the game, you know, who did you think man of the match was, or any of that kind of stuff, all that stuff goes out the window, because, you know, we are refereeing jerseys and we're going, you know, moment by moment, decision by decision. And, you know, it's kind of broken down into them kind of things. And, you know, people ask you after the game, who did you think man of the match was? And I haven't got a clue. You know, like, you're just not watching the game in that way. And, you know, that's likewise for your linesmen and your umpires and that. And people wouldn't believe you, but you're just actually switched on, because, you know, I've even spoken, you know, we've been speaking in the car on the way home, the umpires and that. And, you know, we're talking about different performances, guys wouldn't know what happened or wouldn't have noticed it, because they were watching their quarter of the field or they were doing their particular job on the day, you know.
The bit where you get shouted at RF and you let it flow, I mean, you must have watched games before in the past and seen the ebb and flow of matches and how a different style of refereeing influences things. Presumably when you're in the middle of a game, you've no clue about that. But is this something that you ever think about kind of retrospectively and go back and watch a game and go, could I have done something differently here? Would I have made changes to that? How do you feel about the role that the ref plays and the ultimate quality of the match?
Yeah, I suppose the big thing for us is that, you know, we are there to, I suppose, referee the game, and that is rule by rule, sequence by sequence, et cetera, et cetera. And I suppose, you know, over a period of time, teams become accustomed to a referee and their style of refereeing, no different than a referee becomes accustomed to a team style of play, et cetera, et cetera. And I suppose maybe, you know, down the line when them things marry up, sometimes you end up having something, especially when you have two things that are very compatible. You have, I suppose, a game that turns into be a very good spectacle for everybody. But, you know, you can't really judge a game or preempt anything, because, you know, you could have the best will in the world to do, you know, X, Y, and Z before you throw the ball in, but the minute you throw the ball in and something changes, the course of the game is going down a totally different road altogether, you know?
Yes, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. It's the Mike Tyson quote.
Yeah, like, you know, like, I've been part of teams, you know, with my own club and stuff like that, and you go out and, you know, all of a sudden you lose your best forward, you know, to an injury, and next thing, everybody, the heads drop and all that kind of stuff. So all them things come into play, you know, let it be, you know, a team of officials maybe making a mistake, or a player, you know, getting injured on a team, or the star player getting sent off, whatever the case may be. So you can preempt all these things, and people say, yeah, this has the potential to be a real good game. And, you know, the script goes out the window as soon as you throw the ball in and something like that happens.
They do this good thing, I think it might have been the Telegraph, and I don't want to get it wrong, but where they go back and they referee the Chelsea Leeds FA Cup final. They did it 20 years ago, they got David Ellery to do it, and they did it again recently, and it went from like, oh, there would have been 4 red cards when David Ellery did it to like 11 or 12 the last time. We've been doing some classic game club over the course of lock-in, and the Tyrone-Kerry game from 05 had some fairly meaty challenges, like, you know, elbows to the head that are like waved on, or maybe a booking. Has the game changed that much, do you think, in your view, as somebody who kind of grew up watching it? And if you ever watch any of those games back, you're like, well, it's a little bit fruity, that challenge.
Yeah, like, you know, we meet on a regular basis for seminars, and yes, we do go back on a lot of games, you know, in the archives, to learn from them, to keep ourselves refreshed, you know. You know, different even technical incidents, like, you know, I suppose the famous one is the Loudmead square ball. You know, so we are constantly reminded and constantly watching back in our games. And there's no bigger critic than ourselves when it comes to reviewing games, because, you know, ultimately it's a reward driven game, you know, no different than a player having a good performance. If we have a good performance as a referee, the potential for us to get the next biggest game or the next biggest appointment or a final or whatever the case may be comes on the back of delivering good performances, you know. So we are definitely very much like that, you know, and there's nobody better at scrutinizing ourselves than ourselves, because, you know, we just demand them standards of each other. And, you know, it's very hard for people to understand this, you know, like, we are a team when we go out, and, you know, the performance of our team, as in the linesmen and the umpires around us, you know, we really, really rely on them in order to get us across the line and delivering that good performance on the day, because you're relying on your umpires maybe to, you know, pick something up off the ball, or, you know, make a really good Hawkeye decision, or whatever the case may be, you know, and it's all performance pending, you know, our job.
In terms of your own training at the moment, obviously the news kind of came through yesterday that we don't expect any inter-county before October. Is that in line kind of with what you guys had been told, or is that your expectation too, that there won't be any significant time on the field refereeing matches probably until September in club?
Yeah, we had a meeting last week, and that's what we were told that was potentially coming down the line. Nothing was fully confirmed, but that's what the lie of the land looked like at that stage, you know. And you know, personally, I think, you know, they're doing a really good job and giving everybody the time to do what they need to do. We have training plans and structures, and you know, like, it's, we've always been training on our own, so nothing really changes there, you know. But yeah, down the line, it looks more or less the same as what the announcement was yesterday, pending that everything goes the way we're expecting it to go, that we're going to have club football first, followed by, you know, a potential inter-county season at the end of the year.
Martin, how do you feel about refereeing a game in terms of your own health and safety at the moment? Sorry, before the end of the year.
I honestly would have no issue, because, you know, the GAA and all the sporting bodies, like, we'd be naive to think that if the GAA aren't in liaison with the IRFU or the FAI or any of them sporting bodies, you know, I know the GAA gets it in the neck a lot because they're the grassroots and they're part of every community and they're the, I suppose, the sport that everybody wants to talk about immediately. But I would be quite comfortable, because they're not going to put anybody at risk. You know, you could have a person who has an underlying health condition that everybody is aware of. And then you could have somebody else who has an underlying health condition that nobody knows of, even the person themselves don't know about it. And they're, you know, them two people are equally as much at risk going out in a game if the potential was there to contact coronavirus. But I would be safe, because nothing is going to happen unless the GAA are happy that the health authorities and the government has given them the green light. And it's just not the GAA. Like, you know, as I said, we'd be quite naive to think that the GAA aren't liaison with the IRFU, the FAI, and plus, along with this, you know, like everything that has happened so far, you know, we've had the benefit of seeing what happened in China. We've the benefit of seeing what happened in Italy. And, you know, more than likely, the sporting bodies in Ireland are going to have the benefit of seeing what happens in other European countries with regard to sports. And we're probably going to learn a bit from that, you know, as to what we can do, what we can implement, and how we can make it safe for everybody going forward.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. Martin, thanks a million for joining us this morning, and best of luck with your 11.2K.
Cheers, guys, and feel free to donate on our GoFundMe page.
Definitely. So that's GoFundMe if you want to know about the referees running for Pieda House this weekend. The entire inter-county panel of referees are doing it on Saturday, and we wish them all the best of luck for that. It's for a great cause.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.